Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
I Don't Get It Podcast. Hey guys, welcome to the I Don't Get It Podcast. It's Ashley,
Lauren,
and Naz, and we're all together.
Wow, it's the first time in a long time since that Troy podcast. And today we are joined by another Wave Network host. If you guys didn't know, we are hosted our podcast on Wave Network. We're here with Sarah.
Hello.
Sarah is on Brain Candy with the founder of Wave Network,
Susie Meister.
Yeah. What's her last name?
Meister.
What's your last name?
Butler. What's my last name?
Yeah.
Patterson.
Patterson.
Yes, right. Sarah, when I was on the show, though.
Patterson.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Tell everyone what show you guys were on again. Yeah.
We had her very last season of the Real World Road Rules Challenge. That was what it was still called at the time. It was my very first season. And we met and he fell in love over the Sunday crossword puzzle. And the rest is history.
Hence there's brain so much candy.
Hence the brain candy.
Oh. Tell us about Brain Candy, the podcast.
Actually,
not why you're here right now, but I still want to know.
Can I get your opinion? Because you guys seem like three like hip, cool, trendy, like
that's
know
us.
Their stuff ladies.
Yeah.
Super
that's
like finger on the pulse. Is it cool or not cool to get a custom license plate with brain candy?
Oh, I like custom license
or
plates.
Or is it kind of
you
like,
are custom?
I don't like
it's
them.
So
I'm
oh
usually anti, but like if it's like when are we pro? Is this a thing I do?
I've always been pro. Okay, I had a personalized license plate for like 12 years before coming to California. And then in California, I didn't personalize it.
Oh, right.
Which
so
is hilarious because California is the state that has the most personalized license plates in the United States. More people, literally everywhere.
Yes.
You drive, you'll see it. Everyone has one here,
which is why usually I'm anti.
Yeah, I don't like it.
Okay,
Lauren, you don't like
this
it?
This was a 2 o'clock in the morning idea I had, and it just happens to be available.
I don't know if it's worse if you have a cool car or a shitty car, you know?
Yeah, I was gonna say, that's
a good question.
It depends on the car.
Yeah, like if you have a cool car, then
I think,
maybe
you
have
a
car
douchey,
be cool, but also if it's old, then like, why are you trying?
Agreed. If it's a cool car and you have a customized license, but you're trying
too
hard.
Way too hard.
You're trying too hard.
Totally.
You gotta
it's like showbiz, and you drive away in a Mercedes.
It's like a Broadway marquee on your car.
Yeah. I've seen that car driving around.
Zillion
I totally
times,
know that
pretty
one.
Much daily.
Yes, okay.
But,
so you're anti.
For my
okay,
car,
also a bumper sticker it
for
is.
Your car, what?
Because it is so old and it looks like a mom car.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's
a 31-year-old drives it.
That's
I
cool.
I think it'd be kind of cool.
Yes, I'm kind of for that. Okay.
I say it's, embarrassing.
Is it odd that I'm into you getting a brain candy tattoo over a brain candy
okay,
license?
That is funny. Okay. Permanent versus
that's so
yes,
weird.
Temporary.
She's
okay, I'm kind
of
into it.
A lot of
yes,
tattoos
you can hide it. So
for
like,
you guys
yeah,
to know.
I got a bunch already. You wouldn't even notice.
Yeah, it'd be dope. Yeah. We could do like a brain and then
yeah,
that's cute.
Okay.
Brain and then candy.
Thanks. All right,
that's
this
cute.
Is like my
right?
new panel
like a cool
of,
yeah. like it could be gum, right?
Like
gum
I get it.
No,
brain,
like a colorful lollipop.
Yeah, mm-hmm. uh-huh. I see the wheels turning. This is good. This is good.
I was thinking
good
like a
material.
Red and white mint.
Yeah. Okay, that's cute. I like that.
Brain mint.
Why is this conversation?
It's like refreshing for your mind.
Yes.
You know what else
okay,
is refreshing
okay.
for your mind? Having a therapist.
Yeah. Oh, hey, I happen to do that.
You are.
Yes.
You are a marriage and family therapist.
Correct.
You're on Brain Candy. And what's the main things you discuss on there?
And how
oh,
do you
man.
Think about enough content for 2 episodes a week?
Oh, you know what? There is so much information out there and we love learning and we love sharing the info. And, you know, with the job that I have, I hear news stories and, you know, every day. And Susie and I always say, like, nothing surprises us. Mm-hmm. We are. And so when you ask, like, what do we talk about? We talk about relationship issues. We talk about stuff that's going on in the world. We talk about feminist issues. And we also talk about stories about things like, you know, a superintendent who was caught taking a shit in the rival school's track.
Wow.
So a good poo story every now
so
and then.
So they do
to
like
really
current event stuff. Think yeah. about it. If we yes. covered current event stuff, we yeah. would never have
right.
run
also,
out of stuff to talk about.
But you
about.
Do have to do a little, we do a little research.
Right.
But we were already doing that anyway.
Right.
So we're like, hey, we're already reading all these articles. We're talking about this together. Let's share it with some people.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And from what the we hear, it's really good, like icebreaker stuff at parties or
oh,
the office
great.
Or when you're hanging out and you don't know what to
that's
talk
true.
About.
Or on a date. Yeah.
Or on a date. Oh my God, the best first date mm-hmm. material.
Mm-hmm.
Totally.
Amazing. I Can always we... thought that you guys were like doing puzzles and like you really had to work your brain.
No, no.
So
the opposite.
Like,
she's like, oh my God, it's
have
just
nine
blue
B down.
yeah.
Big 10 across.
Totally.
No, you guys. But no. I thought it was like really like tricky, mind boggling stuff.
Oh, okay.
I mean, we pretend
yeah.
events. It's
okay.
kind of, but
before
when you really like dive in, it's. 50% poo stories. No, I'm totally kidding. but not really.
Same. I was gonna ask.
Yes.
Can you elaborate more on the type of therapy you did? Because you mentioned
yeah.
marriage.
So
when you locked in.
I just graduated this spring, and now I'm an associate marriage and family therapist. Until I like, it's kind of like being a resident when you're mm-hmm. a doctor, and like you know while you're still working and like learning the trade, and until I get all the required hours. But I offer therapy to couples, to individuals, to families, to groups. To kind of like help with any sort of interpersonal relationship issues, anything that involves a relationship, which is pretty much everything, whether
right.
that's a relationship
mm-hmm.
with a friend, a coworker, you know, somebody that you're like in an intimate relationship with, family member, you name it. And that's kind of what being a person is all about. So I like to say that I help people like learn the tools for help how to be a person.
Okay, well, so you told us that you were getting divorced.
Yes.
And that you're open to talk about it.
Totally.
How does a marriage and family counselor mm-hmm. decide that it is time to get divorced because your marriage isn't working?
Yeah. You know, I think through the whole process when you're in school, a lot of it is just a lot of self-reflection. And in order to be there for your clients and to be really present for them, you kind of have to take a look in the mirror and say, like, am I living in line with the values that I'm teaching, with the kind of things that I'm talking about, you know, like what love should look like and people, you know, I really believe and a big part of like how I provide therapy is really working to strengthen identity. Like, what are the things that make you you and how can we really make you love that person and like what's deep down when you pull away all the BS, all the freaking bullshit on the outside. Can I curse on here?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Absolutely.
All the fucking bullshit on the outside. You peel yeah. back the layers and you find out like who you really are. And when you're living in line with that, you're happy. There's less
yeah.
anxiety. There's less depression. There's less, you know, tumultuous relationships. You're happier. And it's when we're not living in line with that, when we feel out of balance, when there's part of who we are, part of this like complex person that we are, you know, we're trying to fill the hole. I use the analogy of a cake. I think that's the best way to kind of illustrate it, that in life, it's kind of like you're baking a cake. And you have to choose what are your important ingredients. You have like your flour, your sugar, your butter, your whatever. Those are the things that are important to you in life. It could be your school, your education, your family, your financial situation, where you live, whatever's important. And a relationship is always just the icing. You could never take a icing and replace it for flour,
mm-hmm.
what would happen if you put your cake in the oven?
Right.
It would never ever rise. It wouldn't,
wow.
and you'd be like, what the hell?
I love that analogy.
We have such good cake analogies.
I understand life now.
Yeah. yeah.
So there you go.
That's
so you got to
so
wait. And when you have all those ingredients and you bake the cake, isn't a cake without ice cream, icing still delicious?
It's still very good.
You're still going to eat it. I'm not going to say no.
Yeah.
But
right.
you put icing on top and it's like, oh, mm-hmm. now I can decorate, I can make it
yeah.
what I want, we can make it fun, it becomes more playful and exciting, and that's basically that's what a relationship is. So when you try to reuse that relationship in place of one of those things that's important
mm-hmm.
in your life, and to try to get fulfillment, never going to mm-hmm. find it. So
that's
I help
me.
People get those ingredients. Let's decide what are your ingredients, let's get those together, let's
mm-hmm.
bake your cake, And the rest of, and somehow magically icing just falls right on top of it.
It's crazy how so much comes down to self-love.
Icing really does magically fall on top of it.
It does when you're good, when it's baked. Yeah. And that's why people always say it's all about timing.
So do you think that like people who get married younger who don't really know who they truly are, like could they still find their icing?
I think so. You know, I think you have to sign up for what matters most is the ability to negotiate along the way and to check in and say, you know, especially when you get together young, I think people have great potential for growing together because they've both kind of committed to this journey and understand that there's going to be growth. Mm-hmm. What trouble kind of happens when one person doesn't want to change and one person does, mm-hmm. or when two people are changing in the opposite direction and that kind of divides them, they change and then we recognize like, oh, the things that brought us together before are not really what my five ingredients are.
Right.
You know?
I just came back from Esalen, which is this retreat center up in Northern California. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I this whole time I've been like, I want to find a person. Mm-hmm. And I didn't realize that I just really didn't love myself. And it's so crazy how it all just comes down to loving yourself.
And
it's
if we were to go over what's the most, if you really boiled it down, when you find somebody and you're attracted to them, it is them. It's not them needing you to fill something in their life. It's that you look at them and go, wow, that is like the check, check, check. Like they got it. I'd like to be the icing on that cake sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're attracted to is that togetherness. It's like a magnetic pull that we can't even describe. Mm-hmm. And the same it goes both ways.
Yeah.
So we think that when we're on the search or the quest and like, oh my God, I got to go on these dating sites. I got to blah, 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 blah. No. Kick back, relax, do you.
That's what I always say.
You know, what do you want to do? Go to a retreat? Great. You like hiking? Join the Sierra Club. You like do stuff that fulfills you. You want to go and like have an adventure? Sign up to get certified as a scuba diver. Whatever you want to do, you will meet that person. Mm-hmm. It just happens like that. Mm-hmm.
Fall is here. Everyone is ready with their pumpkin spice lattes. And the next thing on our fall checklist is to get some cute boots and sweaters. And the place to go is Shoe Dazzle. That's where I get majority of my boots. I just got these Dorothy over the knee boots. They will look cute with jeans or a dress. They're professional. You can dress them up, dress them down. And there's a million other boot options and also like normal shoes, sneakers, sweaters, jeans, everything on ShoeDazzle.com. So you guys are going to want to go over to ShoeDazzle.com/get it and take the 60-second style quiz and you'll receive a personalized showroom of pieces specifically catered towards your own unique style. It's honestly amazing how just 60 seconds, they kind of figure out that I like to wear all black and leather. So it's pretty amazing. Make sure you enter your email address once you take the style quiz and you'll receive exclusive monthly discounts and an inside scoop about new collections that haven't released yet. I have been getting these emails from Shoe Dazzle since like 10 years ago, and they're so helpful. They let you know when there's new styles. You'll be the first one to get the styles, and they do run out really quickly, so it'll get you on the website faster and getting the cute shit, you know, that you want. So take the style quiz for personalized outfit recommendations and shop over 1,000 different styles and check out a guest or become a VIP. I'm a VIP, suggest you become a VIP too. And you get 30 to 50% off regular prices. It is so worth it to be a VIP. There are so many cute shoes. They look like Gucci shoes, but you're getting them for like maybe $20. Really, really great deals. And they're really on-trend fashion at an irresistible price. They're chic, inclusive, impulsive, and extroverted. They also have wide calf shoe options and like wider foot options. So like you can find something that'll fit you and your leg, no matter what size you are. And it's great for trying something new or experimenting with your look. You get free shipping over $39. And I'm sure that you guys will be finding so much cute stuff that you guys will also be getting free shipping. And also there's no commitment to order monthly as a VIP. And a personalized experience, every woman gets their own showroom each month with items based on their own personal style, and she can shop there and browse the site freely to find the perfect style. You can pretty much just go onto your showroom and find everything that you would like, but also there are pages and pages and pages of amazing clothes to look from on ShoeDazzle.com.
And before I forget, Shoe Dazzle is offering our listeners an exclusive deal. Really take advantage of this. You get your first Shoe Dazzle style for as low as $10 as a VIP. That's 75% off your first item with our special link. And that is shoedazzle.com/get it to get your first style as low as $10 as a VIP. You could also get free shipping on orders over $39. And there's absolutely no commitment when you purchase your first order. That's shoedazzle.com/get it. It's important to use that link specifically. It's shoedazzle.com/get it.
I want to bring it back to what we're doing today, because yeah. Ashley and Lauren and I, for a while, something sparked in a former podcast. Yeah. We were like, let's do this podcast. So the podcast today, for everyone listening, is we wanted to talk to couples who are married but mm-hmm. don't physically sleep in the same bed together. We thought that that'd be an interesting thing to dive yes. into. And we're going to have you, Sarah, along the way, obviously, to help the three callers yes. that we have set up for today. But can you just walk us through what issues people come to you for when it comes to marriage?
Yeah. So first, let me like take off my therapist hat, because I think it's important for me to say, like, before, when I work with any couple, I make sure that I get extensive backgrounds on them to really know and understand like where they're coming from and what's going on here, and see, have like all the pieces. So this is more like Sarah, regular person, giving mm-hmm. advice with a little bit of the education in the background.
Okay.
To make sure that people, like, you know, if you guys need advice, if there's something that's going on in your marriage, I want to make sure that you're getting it from somebody who really understands the whole situation and, like, of course, right. contact right. a mental health yeah, professional. Yeah, yeah. Asterisk. Okay. So, the majority of the time when people come in, the number one thing I hear from couples is we have communication issues. And a lot of times people don't understand the ways that we talk about learning I statements. We talk about ways to communicate with more of your feelings, way to validate what the other person's saying. A lot of the times when we go into an argument, we have our position, and it's not really a dialogue. It's a monologue that you're waiting for somebody to agree with. And that doesn't really work. So it's, how do we kind of start on neutral grounds? How do we learn how to fight fair? Because every couple is going to fight. That's like humans, like two people can't exist together without right. there being some sort of, you know. And when they say, oh, we never fight, I'm like, what's going on there? I can't wait for this to all crumble. Because you got to learn how to fight.
What if you don't fight, but like you nitpick, you know what I mean? It's because we don't like have fights, mm-hmm. but we'll get annoyed at each other and we'll call each other out on that.
Well, but by fighting, what I mean by fighting is there's something that bothers you or there's something that bothers him, and you have the confidence, the security, the strength in your relationship to be able to bring that situation to him, discuss it in a healthy way, negotiate the feelings and get your feelings out, have them be heard and validated, negotiate what you would like to change, and then have it move in a positive direction.
Okay.
It's so just congruent discuss, communication.
Argue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like, and I think you got to redefine fight, say, what right. does fighting mean to you? Yeah. That's what I say to a couple. Because for some people that means something physical. I do not mean that. Mm-hmm. For some people it means like, you know, I think of, you know, like my grandparents were these like really conservative, freaking boring white people who never raised their voice. And like, they'd be like, oh, we are fighting. What is this? That's not a fight.
That's so funny.
Church, or, you know, like this is like what you like yeah. act, how you act at church. You know, so it, that like, so it's different for everybody.
Yeah.
You know, and then my mom was like living in Italy, where it was like she's like taking a
wooden
vase
spoon.
And throwing yeah. it against the wall, and it's like okay, there was a little bit different.
That's so funny.
You know,
have married couples ever come to you who haven't been sleeping in the same bed?
Yeah, you know, that's a big one. And
And what are the reasons?
Oftentimes, it's important to look at, so sleeping in the same bed, this is why I say you have to take a look at the whole picture. So I say with everything, what's the intention behind it? Are we not sleeping in the same bed because we're avoiding intimacy? Are we not sleeping in the same bed because it's just a matter of one's a late owl and one's mm-hmm. an early bird? Are we not sleeping in the same bed because, you know, this guy's a mouth breather and snores all night mm-hmm. long? Or, you know, she tosses and turns and I can't get any Z's? Whatever it is. So it's important to look at what's going on. But I think if you can find intimacy in the relationship in other times and other moments, and you feel secure and safe and comfortable in those intimate moments, then you know, to each his own. Mm-hmm. There is no, there's no normal. There's no one set of rules. There's no one size fits all. That's what I say. You have to negotiate the rules along the way, because what works for one couple may not work for another. And on and on and on and on.
There may be like a couple who only has like sex in public bathrooms. Not everyone has sex in the bed at like 10 p.m. and go to bed. You know, so it's like if you're not having sex in bed, then what? You don't have to sleep together.
And
really.
Both people are happy, and both people feel fulfilled in their sex life, and both people are consenting, and it's a
and both people can fart. Get it on.
Yeah, and they can just
do it.
Not hold
are
in
you
their
holding in farts now? I know.
She lets them loose.
You let them. Oh, you know what? Susie and I were just talking about this. Yeah. That now I have a new chance to reset. And be a no farting family.
You want? You want that?
You
want?
I hate it. Yeah, I'm a no. I don't want that.
Oh, I need to.
You need it. Okay.
If I don't do it, I'm not like gonna do it like right next to him. Like he can walk through it sometimes if he's walking. I'm like, well,
he's still married her. You know, he smelled the worst.
Now, what's his? What are his habits?
He doesn't really fart very much. Oh, he burps more than he farts.
Oh, and you're like okay with it?
Excuse me.
All right, then you know what? Let him rip.
Let him rip.
I would be like really uncomfortable, and he doesn't want me to be uncomfortable. So like, I would get like super bloated, and I wouldn't be able to like sit next to him. And then I'd be like, oh no.
I wish I had the same sort of empathy towards my soon-to-be ex-husband, because I was like, I said that I had the same rules, like maritime law, as you have to be like, what is it, like 12 miles offshore for it to be like
gambling,
what is it called, like international waters,
and
rules don't apply. So I say he has to get 12 feet away from me before that's he farts, because then he's in like international waters and rules don't apply.
That's funny.
He did not. He violated that rule all the time. That's not the reason we're getting divorced.
That's funny. So we're gonna call a couple of people who are actually sleeping apart and see their reasons, and then if there are actual relationship reasons, maybe you can help them out with it.
Sure.
All right. Let's give them a call.
All right, guys, we have an anonymous caller on the line, and hello, thanks for coming on. We would love if you would share your story with us.
Okay, so basically, my husband and I have been married for about 10 years, and we have 3 children. So we always slept in the same bed, in the same room, until we had more kids than adults. And we kind of like brought the kids into bed out of just complete like sleep deprivation. And then we had 2 kids really close together. And so we ended up like one would go out to the couch when one was teething, stuff like that. Stuck because the kids are so.
Sorry, can you repeat what you were just saying? You cut out
like,
for a second.
They basically just sleep with us.
Yeah. Okay.
So some of the kids.
Just about how they were so clingy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So the sleep patterns developed with all your kids that now are hard to break because they've kind of, it's become the family bed that maybe is uncomfortable for 1, 2, or both of you guys to sleep in all together.
Right. Well, four of us at that point, because our older one is he's good to go, but the younger two were so close together that like we were all so sleep deprived for so long.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, first let me say, shout out to having 3 kids and just like still, you know, being alive and like getting
and
soccer practice
it and have money to buy water. Right. I don't know. That must like, cost a lot.
You're at your kid's soccer practice. You're like clearly, you know, doing the right thing here. But, you know, it's hard, of course, when kids come along, because now you've got like extra bodies. And just like I said, like habits develop that can be really, really hard to break.
So, I have a question. Do you like want to sleep in the same bed? I'm just looking at this from like this is such a, you know, concept to me that I have no idea about. Do you want to sleep in the same bed, or does it totally work for you guys and you don't care and it's like just as amazing the way it is?
I think like our goal is to like sleep in the same bed, but we're not like, it doesn't bother either of us. Like we're not like fighting about it. Mm-hmm. We still make time for like intimacy and stuff.
Great.
So it's not like it's ruining that part. But we're both kind of just like, okay, our kids are really little and they won't always be this little. And they won't always sleep in our bed. Like we're not about to have teenagers sleeping in our bed. So we're like, we know there's like an end date, and we're kind of just like, hey, let's just enjoy our little tiny babies. And one day it'll be done.
Do not fast forward this ad, everyone. You're going to want to use it I know you are. If you use any other delivery apps, you might as well try DoorDash and see how you like it. I think it's more organized than other delivery apps. And with this, with our code GETIT, you get $5 off your first order of $15 or more. So why not try DoorDash and get some of your favorite restaurants delivered right to your door? And DoorDash connects you to your favorite restaurants in your city. So just open the DoorDash app, choose what you want to eat, and your food will be delivered to you wherever you are. And not only is your favorite pizza joint already on DoorDash, there are over 340,000 restaurants in 3,300 cities. So you might as well find a new favorite as well. So with a door-to-door delivery app in all 50 states and Canada, order from your local go-tos or choose a favorite national restaurant like Chipotle, Wendy's, Chick-fil-A, and the Cheesecake Factory. Don't worry about dinner. Let dinner come to you. And I know all of us out there love delivery services, so why not try DoorDash and see how you like it? Right now, our listeners can get $5 off your first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter promo code GETIT. That's $5 off your first order when you download the DoorDash app from the App Store and enter the promo code GETIT. And don't forget, that's promo code GETIT, G-E-T-I-T, for $5 off your first order of DoorDash.
Is there a time where, like, it's most appropriate for kids to get out of their parents' bed?
You know, there is, that's different in every culture. Just like I say, there's no normal. There, in a lot of collective cultures, so Eastern European, or like Eastern cultures, a lot of Asian cultures, they sleep in the bed until they're like 7 years old, 8 years old, nine. It's one gigantic bed. And a lot of times, really until, like, I mean, I can get all historical here, but until like colonialism came in and like religion, that was when people started sleeping in separate beds. But it used to be like everybody sleeps in one bed together. And it was a very different sleep schedule if you look through history. Hmm. And it's important to take into consideration, like, where do we even get these rules? Where did those norms come from? If we looked at TV in the 19th, Ricky and Lucy weren't even sleeping in the same bed then.
Wild. The Flintstones, weren't they the first couple? And they're an animated couple. Fred and Wilma to sleep in the same bed together
with Lucy and Ricky. It was normal for couples to sleep together, but they just couldn't show it on TV.
Yeah, I think it was too scandalous to show.
So we're like, but think about that if you're like watching that and that's the message you're getting. And so to say, like, what's the normal, there isn't any. And she said, well, we know it's not going to be forever. We still have the chances to be intimate together. We're both like, we like having, listen, this is, your kids are only little for like a little bit of time. I mean, I don't have any, but I keep them, I'd never let them go. And like, I totally get it because, you know, enjoy and do what works for you. What the, where you run into problems and where it becomes an issue is if one person's like, I can't take this anymore. We got to get the kids out of the bed. This is really ruining our sex life. Yada, yada, yada. But if that's not going on, girl, you do you.
Anonymous, I have a question.
Thank you.
Do you, how do your friends and family think of it?
Excellent question.
Thanks.
So we don't really tell a lot of people. Again, that's why I'm saying anonymous. I definitely don't try to hide it, but I feel like it would be really negatively looked on, and I feel like I would be really judged for it. But it's nobody else's business type of thing. I don't know.
Yeah,
but like you said about like the, like historically in other cultures, like it's really normal, like to all co-sleep. And so like, and I don't know, there's so many factors. Like I was breastfeeding for so long and like, I didn't want to get up and go, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
I was so, I saw Jade get a lot of flack for sleeping with Emmy.
Until she was like one.
Until she was like one. And I'm like, just get your rest, you know? If you have to get up and breastfeed, and like, sleep is probably the most important thing at that time. So, like, get your sleep.
Or you feel crazy.
Yeah.
It makes me sad that I think that's why we're doing this podcast, to break that stigma, right? Because it is crazy how people out, like, in the outer parts of your life just feel like they can make the decisions that are so intimate and private.
Well, and usually that's a reflection of something that they're feeling about themselves in their own life, of like, maybe they did it by the quote unquote norm and the rules and blah, how that is, but they still have intimacy issues. So they're going to point to, oh, it must be that. If you do that, da, 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 da. Anytime somebody is going around saying you should, I call it shooting all over the place. And everybody needs to stop shooting all over the place. It does not work.
name
and
of the
it's
podcast.
Never good.
Podcast, yeah.
Shitting all over the there place.
That's really awesome. Well, thank you, Anonymous.
Yeah, thank you so much for calling in and sharing that with us.
I hope you feel better now.
Thank you. I wasn't really like that upset about it or anything. Good. I am worried about other people's, like mostly my, you know how it is with families. Most of my family, because they think they know better mm-hmm. and they're, you know. Mm-hmm. But thank you guys. I'm really big yeah. fans. I've been listening since the very first show.
Aw, thank you so Aww, much.
Thanks.
You
know, so sweet. We love you.
You know what? I always love a little passive aggressive, you know, way to kind of show them that you're right. So there's a great book out there. I can't remember who wrote it, but it's called, How Eskimos Keep Their Babies Warm. I think it's something like that. It's like, I think it's called that, How Eskimos Keep Their Babies Warm. And it's all different parenting techniques from around the world. Like in South America, babies are up till like 1 o'clock yes. in the morning yes. and like just with the parents out at restaurants. I've yeah. never yeah. seen anything like it. Like toddlers. And they make it work. And it's different everywhere. And I think that's what it's called, How Eskimos Keep Their Babies yeah, Warm. But something good. Along those lines got a blue cover. But check that out. And that makes a great stocking stuffer at Christmas time for those relatives.
Sarah, I love you. All right, well, thank you so much. Bye.
Thanks. Bye, guys.
We're talking a lot about relationships on this podcast, on this episode, and a lot of tumultuous relationships can cause depression and stress, anxiety, even issues sleeping. And if you guys are looking for an affordable option for therapy, I would definitely suggest using BetterHelp. And BetterHelp is an online counseling service, and it's always there for you. And there are four modes of communication. You can text, you can call, you can FaceTime, and you can get convenient therapy on your schedule. And everything you share is confidential, and they deal with, again, depression, stress, anxiety, relationships, sleeping, trauma, anger, family conflicts, LGBTQ matters, grief, and self-esteem. And there are 3,000 U.S. licensed therapists all across the 50 states. And you can start communicating in under 24 hours. If you're really having a day, you can sign up and start chatting with the therapist and feel a whole lot better within that same day. And you can schedule video or phone sessions, and there's broad expertise in the network, which may not be locally available in many areas, but there is also financial aid available for those who qualify. And I think everyone should be able to talk to a professional about their feelings. So it's secure, convenient, professional, and affordable. So best of all, it's truly an affordable option. And our I Don't Get It listeners get 10% off your first month with the discount code GETIT. So why not get started today? Go to betterhelp.com/getit. Simply fill out a questionnaire to help them assess your needs and get matched with a counselor that you'll love. That's betterhelp.com/getit. All right, everyone, we have our next caller on the line whose name is Anonymous. It's so weird. We have Anonymous on the line. So, Anonymous, do you want to tell us your sleeping arrangements?
Story. Yes. Yeah, so this is the sleeping arrangement story of my parents.
Oh, yeah.
No, these are always
so,
good.
Yes, I'm not involved in the sleeping arrangement, but
that would be okay
off to
if
a good
you
start.
Were.
Yeah.
No, it wouldn't.
Right.
There we go. Okay, I appreciate the no judgment.
I sleep with my parents when I go home for Thanksgiving.
Oh, that's cute.
With your dad in the bed?
Yeah, I get in the
we'll
middle
talk
of
about
that.
This later.
Okay.
Okay, go ahead, Anonymous.
Sure, yeah. So my parents have been married. This month is their 35th anniversary. And for 7 of those years up until this past fall, they were living separately. My dad took a job in a different state. And ultimately, like, it didn't really, they weren't really expecting it to be such a long time, but just because of the circumstances, it was. And yeah, they're still together to this day.
So how far apart were they and for how many years?
Yeah, so I'm from New York, so my family were based in New York my whole life. And then when I was graduating high school, my dad took the job in Florida. So that went on for 7 years.
Wow. So 7 years, how often did they visit each other?
Wow.
Yeah, so it kind of worked well. I think I would first of all say, like, my parents, I don't think, would have taken on this situation had I still been living at home and like yeah. still been going to school at home. Mm-hmm. I think it was sort of like the best timing. My sister was away at college. I was going, she was graduating college. I was going to college. And so it was kind of more flexible time for them. So my mom, the reason why she didn't moved down there with him is because she's a doctor. So her practice was up in New York. So she would go and visit him, you know, on just as often as she could for vacations. And then my dad would come home on like as often as he could. So for like major holidays or like long weekends. So yeah, they kind of just as much as their schedules allowed.
Were your parents happy? Do you feel like remember when you were growing up?
Yeah, I think it was a pretty conventional, traditional family dynamic. I remember my parents being really involved in my childhood. I think for both of them, their careers were important, but like being involved in my sister and my childhood was also a priority. My dad was never like an overworker. Like he always made time for us. And yeah, they were very present throughout my childhood.
So how together now?
They are still together. Yeah. So this, in 2 weeks, it'll be their 35th wedding anniversary.
Oh, nice. Oh. Do they live in New York, both of them now, or he's still working in that job in Florida?
So he actually ended up getting a job back up in New York last November. So it's been kind of a transition to get back into the swing of things.
Huh. That's incredible. Yeah, I wonder like what this. It's like for them to sleep next to each other every night now, as opposed to like having gone 7 years without.
Yeah. No, it's definitely interesting. I think it's funny because I feel like it maybe because when I'm home, I see them more. Like I think it's more of a transition to get back into that dynamic than it was for them to be apart. Like it's definitely funny because I think my parents are both kind of independent people, but obviously they're very happy to be back together.
Can you describe some examples of their transition back?
Yeah. So I think one thing for sure is their social life has gotten better because my mom typically would feel kind of like the third wheel when she'd go out with her like couple friends and stuff like that. So it's kind of nice for her to have like her partner back. I mean, they're like the typical kind of older parents. They have their TV shows they watch together on weeknights. Cute. My dad's been watching The Bachelor with them.
Oh my gosh. Mom, my they're so cute.
Yes, he was very obsessed with Tyler, which was funny.
Because he's from Florida.
Who isn't obsessed with Tyler?
That's true. Yeah. And I think just my mom is especially just grateful to have someone around the house since it is like basically, you know, the house I grew up in. It's an old house. There's a lot of maintenance. It's nice to have like someone to help her out with everything since she was doing that by herself for so long.
Your parents are inspiring. Yeah, like, this is making me feel really happy.
Because I feel like people
have to go through a lot of you know, like obstacles. Like he had to work and then they still made it. That's so romantic, Ashley.
Well,
like
I mean, it's like very great, but I would hope that you are, you know, that you get married and that even if things like jobs take you apart, you still would plan to stay married. I don't think that's like this big like thing to applaud. I think, of course.
Yeah, I guess you're right. I guess I feel like often in society and the media, we hear of stories like this that maybe don't work out, you know? Because it's
right.
So many.
Well, they both have to allow each other to put their jobs.
Given
infidelity, you know, like they like overcame a lot. I feel.
Yeah, and like I said, like given the circumstances of my sister and I being older, I think was a big factor in it. Like I think there were a lot of less. Like there are more obstacles between their relationship, but as in terms of the family dynamic, it didn't affect it as much as it could have if we were younger.
And how old are your parents?
They're both 65.
Oh, yeah. And also, you know, the things that you would need to sleep in the same bed with, you know, for like drive kind of does go down. And age is like a real, you know. And I'm sure like when I'm at the point where I'm married for 35 years, I'm going to be like, I'm done seeing you. Please, God, get a job in another state. Go to Florida. Don't you have work somewhere else to do? Get out of here.
I feel like if it was summer, like in LA, you know, some places have... you know, only have like an AC unit, I would not want to sleep next to my partner.
No way. Get away from me.
Right?
Yeah.
Do you do that?
You do it. What are you talking about? You do sleep next to
me. I do. And I'm like, don't touch me. You know, like it's hot as shit.
They might as well be in another state.
Yeah.
Because you are not touching
me. I still like to crawl next to Jared and smell his skin.
Because you're a smothering, stinky wife.
I like to smell his skin. It's very comforting.
Okay, that's
And I
they
roll
do
over.
Say the scent from a man's underarm, the pheromones, have like a scientifically proven calming and relaxing effect on women.
So what about our vaginas?
So when she's acting great, they just
have you on the gym. Before or after the gym?
Oh, I love it.
It's guys.
It's guy smell.
I love guy smell.
I love man smell, but not after they work out.
No,
it's
disgusting.
But
the reason you love it is because your brain knows that it has
you're
that
only
going
to love the smell
of
the person you're supposed to be
totally.
With, okay?
Hold on. Yes. I will say that. There have been smells of other people. I was like, ugh.
Exactly. Biologically, you are not supposed to be
No, totally. Thank you.
All right. Anonymous.
Thank you, Anonymous. I was going to ask you one more question and just like, how did your parents deal with those 7 years? Were they happy or did they feel a strain?
I think it had its ups and downs for sure. Just like anything else. I know my dad was definitely lonely at times and he really, I think was challenging for him to, you know, meet people, especially if, like when you're like at that age, you know, the last thing you want to do is go out and make friends.
But I know it's hard as like a 30-year-old to do it, let alone a 60, whatever year old.
God.
Can I ask if this changed any of your attitudes about living with a future partner?
That's what I want to know.
Yeah, it's funny that you say that because I was talking to my sister right before we were doing this, and I was in a long distance relationship when I graduated college, and I feel like part of why I was very okay with it was because of like the dynamic of my parents being long distance.
Totally.
Yeah,
like, it can work. It's fine,
right?
And we learn from what we see.
Ashley could never.
That seems normal.
I was thinking.
Could you ever ask me?
I don't think so. But like I told Jared all the time that we could be bi-coastal and it would be okay if like I was with him for 1 week and then like we were apart for 1 week, just because I knew that overall like he'd be happy to be out of here. But I know that we can't give up on the work out here. If that makes any sense. But I think like in small increments.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Thank you. And Ashley, congratulations.
Thank you.
Yay. Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Sarah, I have a question about pheromones.
Okay. Yeah. That I can give a lot of advice on.
So because I do feel so comforted by like just his natural smell, like not even like just the smell of his face. Like I know that sounds super weird.
No, I totally get it. It's a sebum you're smelling, which is super gross.
But love me some sebum.
Who doesn't?
Wait, so what's sebum?
That's like it's the like oil in your skin.
Yep, it sure is.
How do you guys know so much more than me?
They have all this information in these things called books.
Books?
No, I'm totally messing with you.
Do guys get the same thing from girls though? Because I feel like girls smell men in a different way than guys.
They do.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, it kind of doesn't go both ways. Right. The smell that I've heard has been the most effective on men is the smell of vanilla.
Yeah, and pumpkin, I heard.
Okay.
I heard if you really are trying to woo a guy, to put pumpkin pie in the oven.
Wait.
And vanilla.
Wait,
like
this
a vanilla
is so
scented
true
candle.
Because I used to wear that perfume called Pink
they
Sugar.
They love that cheap shit. It's
do you guys
so
know
cheap
what I'm talking
stuff,
about?
Yeah.
Do you guys know the smell of Pink Sugar?
Yeah,
I totally
I
do.
Do.
It
do?
Smells like a baby prostitute.
Yes,
every
they all
guy,
smell like mini
every guy in Bath and Beyond.
You're
I mean,
totally
Bath
right.
and Beyond. I mean, Body Works stuff.
This is like the most vanilla smelling shit. And guys would be like, you smell so good.
Teeny bopper. Right.
It's
like
the word.
That's it. They what the heck is that about?
I think guys also like RPO if they're meant for you.
Really? We'll have to test this.
I feel like Lauren has a story behind this.
You've been told.
I've been told that my BO smells really good by someone.
Oh my gosh. I have been told the opposite.
Mm-mm. No. Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, Jared makes fun of my BO, but like when I ask him, I'm like, does my scent have an effect on you? Like, yours does to mine?
So much.
Really?
Oh my
throughout
gosh.
Throughout the month and all
yeah,
that?
Throughout our cycle. Like, it is, you're giving
oh,
off
during
different
the cycle,
stuff.
Forget it. I'm rancid.
What? I mean, I'm
what
already a man
smell?
Repeller as it is. It's probably my smell.
Goodness gracious.
Guys.
Well, I got it too, sister. So
I've got some brain candy for you.
Yes.
I was watching, I'm not sure if it was Nightliners
nice
or something. Actually, I think it was the Today Show. So this woman can smell Alzheimer's.
Parkinson's.
Parkinson's.
Yes.
God damn it. You're so
she was
smart.
Right. She was right. Yeah.
Don't listen to anything any of us.
But yeah, how crazy
isn't
that
is cool? That?
Yeah.
Yeah. So now
she
these labs are using this woman as like an actual detector.
Yes.
Wow.
How does she do it?
She must live forever. She was well, right. Well, she can smell a biomarker in the sebum that they have. So it gives off the sebum. Exactly what I was saying. You can smell on them. There's a biomarker in there that's basically like how dogs have a different scent profile. Like we can smell a certain number of scents, and like a dog can smell like however many times more, and like a pig can smell however many many times more than that, whatever it is. And she has an extra marker where she's able to smell a smell that like smells kind of like fishy and oily, she says. And they use, so what they do is they test it and they keep removing different markers until she goes, oh, yep, that's it. And then they find that one and now they can use that. They go, okay, well, this is the biological like marker that causes that scent, and anything that tests positive for that, it has Parkinson's, and she can That's diagnose wild. It way before.
She should open years. Up a booth on the Venice boardwalk. She would bang.
Right, the craziest part about that is that her husband had it.
And for years and years, she smelled it on him. The smell changed, and she was like, I don't know what's going on. And then he developed Parkinson's.
Yes.
Well, brain candy for you guys.
I know.
There's cats that can smell death.
Oh, yeah.
There's actually death coming. Okay. There's this cat that lives in a nursing home.
Oh, yeah, that's
and
right.
And every time... the cat has been right 100% of the time.
Oh, my God.
If you're about to die, the cat sits on the end of your bed.
Oh, that gives me the chills.
Shut the fuck up. Could you imagine? I would flip Shut the fuck up. I would kill the cat before it got close to me.
It just keeps coming back. You got to kill it any more times.
I get a BB gun. She's like, get away from me.
Get away, cat.
Wow, that's wild.
So they must
wild.
Smell something that our bodies get before death.
Well, we were just talking about the art of racing in the rain. Our favorite Milo is in that movie with the dog. And dogs smell. I mean, you just said this. Yeah. They can smell. Illnesses. It's so sad. It's
very
it's
off so track
sad.
Here.
Yeah. I know, super. But maybe we
this
should.
This is
have
what happens when I come on here
for a brain candy episode, just to like come up with all these weird, like scientific discoveries.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Okay. Should we call our last caller?
Yes. Okay. If I remember correctly, this was the one that I was the judgiest about.
Oh, okay.
Oh,
I can't
curious
wait.
To hear their story then.
I think.
All right. All right, guys, we have our last caller on the line. Katie, thanks so much for joining us and submitting your story. Will you please share what your story is with everyone?
Yeah. So my husband and I started dating 8 years ago when we were in our seniors in high school.
Aww.
It was a bumpy 8 years, but we made it. So we actually have been long distance for most of our relationship. So after senior year, we both went to different colleges and we were like an hour apart.
Not bad.
And then after I graduated college, I like peaced out and moved to Phoenix, without him and like broke up with him. Cause I was like, I don't know if I can do this right now. I'm just going to like peace out. So we broke up for a year. Obviously we got back together after that and then did distance again for another year and a half while I was still living in Phoenix. I moved back to Minnesota 2 years ago. And that's when we found out that he was like got accepted to Army flight school.
Oh, he's a military guy. Okay, well, there you go.
Yeah, he's a military.
That's it.
So
then you're fine.
He got accepted to flight school and he's in the National Guard. Okay. So my plan all along was to just move wherever he went. Like my job is pretty portable or was pretty portable at the time. So I actually switched jobs last summer and started at like a marketing firm. Like, and I actually get to start owning my own firm next month, which is very exciting.
Congratulations, boss bitch.
Bravo.
Thank you. So last winter when we found out like he was going to be leaving a lot sooner than we expected, like everyone just expected like, okay, Katie's going to quit her job. They're going to move to Alabama. And I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Mm-hmm. I don't think I'm okay with that. Like, I'm not really willing to give up my dream of like, I get to own my own company in 6 months. Like, I don't think I'm ready to do that. So like, obviously it was very difficult, but he left in February for Alabama and has been down there since then. And yeah, we've been like living across the country from each other and will be until next August.
So Whoa. Have you guys ever lived together?
We lived together last summer from July until December when we got married and then he left.
And in your 8 year relationship, that's the only time you've ever been at the same spot.
That's wild.
What was it like when you guys lived together?
Yeah, what was it like?
I mean, it was like fine. We grew up together. We've known each other since we were like two. So like we were really good friends growing up. Like he was like my best friend until we started dating.
Aww. You guys are just lifetime. Like you're like with this guy ride or die forever. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. What are the, people listening that maybe have a similar situation? There's a lot of, you know, military husbands and wives out there. What are sort of like the pros and cons to being together and not being together in a relationship physically?
Oh man. I don't know if I'm like the best, I feel like I'm very like emotionally unavailable.
That's exactly what somebody who has a job like that. It's like both parties win.
Wait, would please elaborate.
You know?
Yeah. So like, even when we broke up, like the year we were broken up, the only people I ever dated were like military people. Like, I don't know. I just like, do not like physical contact or like, I'm just like not a touchy feely person. So I'm like the further away is fine.
Oh, and this is fascinating.
So I was like, okay with it. Obviously, like I've seen him only like twice. I've flown down there since he's moved and he can't really leave.
Since February?
At all. Yeah.
Wait, so Katie, is he the same way you know, when it comes to physical contact? Like, doesn't need it, so opposite. To speak?
So no, he is like his first love language is physical contact and my last love language is physical contact. So it's very much harder on him.
How do you guys stay satisfied emotionally?
I think that's the other thing. Like he needs a lot. I've had to work really hard at like calling him every night. Aww. Because I can be like very like, again, like emotionally unavailable. I'm like, oh, I can go. Like I went on a work trip and like didn't call him for like 6 days and he was like dying. And I was like, oh, I should probably call.
How do I get a little bit of what you have? Like, do you like take out a couple hair strands, mail it to LA for me? Where is this magicness coming from?
I don't know. I've like always been this way. I've just never been super like dependent, and I don't know if it came from like I just like up and moved away from literally everyone I knew. Like I didn't know, had no friends, no family in Phoenix at all, and I just like up and left, and so I had to really like fend for myself.
Can I ask what kind of relationship your parents had?
Oh yeah, my parents are still together. They've been together for 35
years.
35 years.
Did they live together?
Independent nature.
Oh yeah,
they
live together. They're like I don't know. I am just like weird. They're still together. They're like very happy.
What's your first love language?
Quality time.
What is it? Quality time?
Wow. Yeah. You guys are both, wow.
Wait, but you don't spend that much quality time then, right? Or is quality time over the phone then, I guess? Yeah. How do you define that?
Yeah, like over the phone is like fine. But I don't need it. Like, I don't know. I also don't feel like I need, I'm so like assured.
You sound like
that. Yeah. I don't feel like I need it all the time.
That's nice.
What's your secret?
I don't know.
Like in your relationship, you think like, how have you guys, you know, gone this long without a lot of physical contact, without, you know, maybe sometimes going 6 days without talking? I'm sure there's a lot of people in the country, you know, that have similar situations. It's just the first time I'm hearing of one like this personally.
Yeah. When we are together, like I have been, so I took 2 week-long trips since February down there, and we just like really have to make the time of like while I am down there or like when we are together. Like we knew we weren't going to live together for very long. So it was like, we did a lot of stuff together while we were here. And I know that sounds super cliche, but like,
is it exciting? Like the first time, like, do you get all the butterflies and exciting feelings when you see him?
Yeah, does your vagina dance when he's on
the
plane?
Totally. That is exactly what I wanted to say.
Is very fun and exciting every single time. And like sorry, mom, but like we don't see each other like the outside a lot when we're together. But like making the most of our time.
Okay. But, so I was going to ask why, like, you sound like somebody who doesn't necessarily would have prioritized marriage. Why did you decide to get married?
We're only 20. We just both turned 25. So it was like kind of young.
You are crushing it at 25 to have that job. And yeah, keep doing that. That's awesome.
Yeah, starting a marketing firm.
That's what I think. That's what I would do. You can do whatever you want to do.
No, it's great. My job is great. But I went to a super Christian college, and I feel like we joke about it now, but I was like for sure like brainwashed into like getting married young.
Okay.
Like all of my, like my freshman year in college, like four girls in my dorm got married.
Okay. Wow. It was like contagious.
So do you feel like it was out of peer pressure? But it sounds like you guys are like soulmates.
You seem like partners. You definitely seem like life partners.
You seem like lifelong partners.
I think, so I for sure like tried to pressure him when we were like 20 and he was like, no.
What girl hasn't been there and done that? I mean, if I had a dollar.
Yeah. Right. And then, I don't know, it just like kind of fell into place. And honestly, I was like, you're going to leave for training and like, can we do another like year and a half apart? Mm. So we were like, well, like,
so far, so good.
We get married, we then he can't go anywhere. Yeah.
Well, we both want it, you know? Yeah. Like, we both were so invested in each other and so assured of our relationship that we're like, we might as well just get married now.
Do you have any intention on ever living in the same spot? Is that, like, a goal? Or is that, like, something that you're okay, that you'd be okay without?
Oh, yeah. So we are, I'm moving to Ohio next month to start my business, and he will join me after he's done with training.
Okay.
Which is next August, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm buying a blank.
So there's an end in sight.
Okay, there is an end in sight.
Is there something you're going to miss about living alone?
I think like kind of like what you said. Well, I am like very messy and he's very clean. Oh. So I do not enjoy the nagging of like cleaning up my stuff. but which is nice. And I just like really like my own space. Like since college, I've lived on my own for like 4 years before we got married.
Living
so I really
on your own is great.
The best.
Yeah.
So nice.
There's like, I don't enjoy that.
Right. Well, carve out, it's important to carve out a little spot for yourself, you know?
I like living alone, but I feel like I'm never alone with Ashley down the street.
Yeah.
Aw. Wait, I have a question. When you guys do move in together, because you love your space so much, are you going to share a bed or you think you'll, you know, have your own room?
I'm sure we'll share a bed. Like, we sleep in the same bed, like, when I visit and stuff like that. I don't think we've ever like not slept in the same bed when we're together. So,
All right.
I just want to say that before you got on, I was like, this is the story I'm the most judgy about. But now after learning about you, it is like, it's just your thing and it's fine. So I'm not judging you anymore.
That's why it's
I'm
so
not
important
judging you anymore, girl.
To hear the story and to know where they're coming from and what the intention is and to go like, what's working for you guys? Do you feel good? Or are people happy? Like, and we can't come in with the judging, like, you know, we all do it. Yeah. Every single one of us has our biases based on
what.
That's
why I wanted to admit it beforehand, because I didn't want to think that I was above it, because we all do it.
Totally.
Do you have family or friends that judge you for your situation, Katie?
Oh, for sure. Both our parents were like, how are you going to spend your first year of marriage apart?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, both of our parents tried to make me quit my job.
I'm sorry that they didn't support you in your career like that.
People are scared of the unknown, like of what they don't know. It's like all fear, I feel like.
Yeah. It was super, super scary, but I guess like, it all kind of came to light. I went down there just like 2 weeks ago and was talking to some of the wives and like asking them about their lives. And they're like, yeah, it's terrible. Like we don't have jobs.
Yep.
We just sit here. Wow. We watch Netflix.
Oh.
Like, and I was like, I would be so bored.
Yeah.
You go, Glenn Coco.
You go. I love it.
Yeah, send me some of those hair strands. So,
like, thing you're doing. Like, she is exactly living the bake and the cake thing.
Yeah.
She's like, what are my ingredients? I'm doing this. And that relationship, oh, it's going to be good because she's... Yeah, because
she's
got her cake made.
Because she loves herself.
Yes, and we're like, I got to try a piece of that delicious cake.
Amazing.
Yes.
Good job, Katie.
Thank you.
You rock.
So inspiring.
Thank you so much
for coming on.
Well, thank you, guys.
All right, good luck, you guys, and enjoy your time together and apart.
Yes.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks. Have a good night, guys.
That was so, like...
That was fun.
I feel like she is the epitome of someone that loves herself.
Yes, she totally
like, because she's
is.
Not looking for another person to fill in all the holes.
Yes.
And knew exactly
like a lot
what
of
she
us
wanted.
Too.
She's like, this is how he communicates. Yeah. This is how I communicate. This is what we do when we're together. She probably is the kind of person who would be able to say, I need more of quality time together and ask for it so that he can provide it.
She sounds very happy.
Totally.
on his end, I wonder if he's as happy, because he needs a little more. He needs physical touch, and he needs her to call, and she forgets to call after 6 days. So maybe, like, she's, you know, baking her cake, but he's frosting a little too much.
Yeah, I'm going to need a Maury episode with that.
Yeah, in another episode, we'll have to call the husband. It'll be like Ghostbusters, but like, well, I don't even know what we call this.
All right, so what'd you guys think? Ashley, do you feel like...
I mean, I feel like I come from a perspective of I like the traditional way of doing things, and I also, like, that's my own personal preferences, and it's probably wrong of me to mirror that on other people.
Very enlightened, Ashley.
Thank you. My woke moment.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
The growth. Always learning and evolving, but we didn't have anyone call who just sleeps in, like, separate beds of the house.
Well, I did that.
You did?
You did that
in your marriage? Well, we have a person. Yeah. Please tell us.
And we did it because we had really separate sleep schedules. He woke up at 5:30 in the morning. He did a lot of work on, and he traveled 250 days out of the year when we first got together, so he was always gone. Mm-hmm. And I'm that same as that caller who's, like, really independent and likes to do things. I love living alone, being on my own. I loved that part about him traveling. And, you know, it just is difficult when we kind of had the love... inability to communicate those love languages and, like, give them and receive them, as well as the caller who called in before did. But the biggest thing was just being on different schedules. I wouldn't get home for my work at a mental health clinic until, like, 11 o'clock at night. Oh, wow. And then it would take me, like, you know, 2 hours to unwind from doing therapy for six hours to, like, just chill out and, like...
Therapists need the most therapy.
Yeah.
Oh, that's for sure. We need it.
Well, isn't that a thing where, like, all psychiatrists need to, like, see a psychiatrist?
Well, I mean, everybody does. I'll say that there's that you get interested in the field because usually there's something you've experienced or something you've seen. And just the same way somebody who's passionate about cancer research often has a family member. Like, I had an aunt who was mentally ill, and I would love to be able to help with that. I saw, you know, an unhealthy relationship between my mom and dad, and I wanted to be able to, and I became the mediator in my parents' relationship.
Wow.
So I just kind of became the mediator.
You were bred a mediator.
Yeah, I was like, oh, I mean, at least I'm getting paid for it now. You know, right. I'm doing this anyway.
Do you feel like sleeping apart, do you feel like that was a part of something that led to the divorce?
Yeah, well, towards the end, I would say it's more like we were just on two different wavelengths in everything. And it kind of played out in us sleeping in separate bedrooms. And maybe in the beginning I started to say, like, oh, it's because, like, you know, I like to stay up late and da-da-da. But we weren't making the effort to, you know, be in the same bed together. Mm-hmm. Where it sounds like a lot of these people are making that effort to, you know, when they do have time together. They're, you know, intimate. And it's all great. And so, you know, we just had to... Sometimes, I mean, for me at least, it was like my body knew kind of before my mind did. Mm-hmm. You know, I was like, I don't know.
You didn't feel like having sex.
You needed to be close to him.
Yeah.
Like, not just sex, but was it, like, not a seeking to be next to him?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like, okay, bedtime, I'm going to go in my room, you go in your room.
Totally.
Not like we could be in the
same apart. Yeah.
How was it the first night you slept in the same house but in a different bed?
Oh, that's a good... What was that, you know, oh, man, I'm trying to think back to when it was. I've always been, you know, I think it's because of his sleep schedule. I've always been like, you know, I'm going to go sleep in the guest bed, or I'm going to... It was never really a big deal. So I think it didn't seem like a big deal in the beginning. And then it... You know, looking back, I'm definitely the one who was more like, oh, I'll sleep in the guest room tonight because I don't want to disturb you. And I was kind of removing my, because, you know, in my mind, I had been thinking about this for a long time and I didn't feel as close and all this stuff. And it almost felt like a betrayal since I didn't, like, feel like, oh, I don't know if I this marriage is going to work, and I don't know if I want to be in this marriage anymore and if this is for me. And so it felt like a kind of a betrayal to be in the same bed.
Oh.
And for me, like, if I think about it, like,
betrayal to yourself.
Yeah.
Because you felt guilty for being in the marriage.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
And like,
did you know that right away, or that's through a lot of work?
I'm actually just putting this together, like, right this
second. Isn't that crazy how you can just discover things about yourself?
I totally did. Yeah. I was like, man, now that I think about that, it could be because of that.
So, question, how long were you together?
We were together for oh, I wouldn't do that. Like six or seven, no, seven, eight, nine. I don't know, like 2000. I'm trying to think of how old I was when we got together. I'm like 25 and now I'm 33. So 8 years, is that the right math? Who knows? Something close to that.
That is the right math.
And then we were together. This is where it gets interesting. And I always tell people, like, you know, research says don't cohabitate before marriage.
Yeah, that's what research says.
Uh-huh.
Why do they say that?
Please do a deep dive on this.
Well, I tried it both ways and it did not work to work. So I'm like anecdotal evidence that it didn't work. But also the research says that people are less satisfied.
Your anecdotal evidence that which one didn't work?
She did living both. Together. I did both. So when I was 20, like 26 or 27, when we were first dating, he was like, you can move in with me. You'll go to school. Like, you'll save money on rent. And I'm like, yeah, great. And that happens for a lot of people. Like, the number of people cohabitating now is on the rise because of financial insecurity. Because we don't have money.
Shit in half.
For real. It becomes the convenient thing to do. But there's a whole bunch of stuff that comes with that where, like, people are less satisfied in relationships. It's usually the female who's less satisfied, whereas the male is sometimes a little... He's okay, but it almost is like a trial run for a marriage for him.
Wow.
And yeah.
Wait,
so,
I have a question. Uh-huh. Does this have to do... Sorry, I have a question.
Like a school.
I think it's interesting that... I mean, are these people who are dating and not yet engaged? Because,
yes.
Yeah, because
correct.
If you're engaged and you're cohabitating,
you've already made that commitment. Correct. Okay. That is what... That is the role.
I told my husband that I was like, we are not living together until you
I said the same thing second time around. Yeah.
So you think it's okay to live together if you're engaged? Statistically
speaking. But
because the woman often loses
is just reported happiness in... No, it's more like, you know, you hear those women who say like, oh my God, my husband's like my third child or something like that.
Yeah.
Where it becomes... We tend to fall into a role where we're kind of supporting their... lives. If you're following
traditional,
like,
let me do your laundry.
Correct.
Yeah.
They have somebody to, you know, make dinner and somebody, whatever. Like, do we just naturally fall into more of those caretaking roles? And well, there's a lot of things that often they provide, like, you know, sometimes it's financial and
hanging
that doesn't happen
on
to,
the wall.
You know, whatever that is, things like that. But sometimes it can be more where the woman kind of feels like, well, I thought this was going to be like, this was it. They're doing it to move the relationship forward.
Women
are going, I want to move in because then I'll move in and then he'll be like, oh, it's great. And I love having her around. It's like being married. And then he'll propose and then we'll get married. And men see it as...
That's so sad we think like
And based on the studies that they've done, men see it as, okay, I'm going to see if she makes the cut. Let's see if this is the whole marriage thing. They're like looking at it as like a trial run.
Men are.
Yes.
Just makes it so
messy.
Statistically?
That's what the research shows based on what...
So what you just said is that...
Not all.
Without
not
all,
all
men,
but, never different.
But
if you look at the sweeping, the studies, this is the report.
That the woman's basically trying to prove herself as a wife.
Totally.
And the man's deciding
yes.
he should marry her.
Correct.
Jesus
yes.
Christ.
Correct.
The anxiety level.
Totally.
Okay.
Got it. Through the roof now.
So like, doesn't the guy think of how messy it is if she doesn't make the cut and kicking her out or having to separate and all that
I mean,
that
these
shit?
Are studies and not everyone, obviously.
Totally. And obviously,
thoughts of
you have to look at those.
And you know.
Yes.
Anyway.
And yeah, so I tried it both ways. We moved in together and it was not good for me.
Oh yeah.
And I did not know how to share my space. I did not know. I should say I didn't know how to ask for my own time. It would be like that caller who really loves her own independent, like all of a sudden like being forced to live with him.
Yeah.
Oh my God, you go crazy. You'd be like, get me out of here. I got to like do my own stuff.
Yeah.
And so now, I mean, moving forward, I'm like, I have a very strict, like 3 days together. And then I need like at least 12 hours of me time.
So will
and
you
then,
do
like
that
a vacation.
Oh,
for sure. And I definitely will not, you know, and okay, so we got together and then we moved in and then it was awful. And then I'm like, you know, I think I want to get my own place again. And then I got my own place and he was like, let's break up. Like the week I was moving in to my new place.
Okay.
And then we were apart for 2 years and then we got back together and then got married. And I was like, okay, we're doing this. And then we got married and then we were together for five years. 4 years and 4.5 or so. And now we're splitting up,
wow.
You know? So
this is very, eye opening though.
Yeah.
Obviously it's not everyone's
story. Totally. And there's
good.
So much, you know, they like that. There's like an onion. There's always layers and layers and layers, but I kind of saw how I changed You know, everybody's different, but I know I can report on my own experience and how I changed and my expectations and the beginning, and kind of like almost felt like playing house. And you go in with this like romanticized Disney idea of what like a marriage and like living together is supposed to be like. Mm. And like, that's not it.
It's
and
not
that's
reality.
Not real. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's like the, how do you just have to do a lot of negotiating. And negotiating is not fun to do if there isn't a long-term goal and like a joint goal, like that you guys are working towards like a future mm-hmm. together, mm-hmm. that you're both going, why am I putting this effort into this goal? Oh, so we can have this future because I love this person so much and I'm committed to a future with them. Mm-hmm. If you haven't said to yourself, oh my God, I love this person so much and I'm committed to a future, why do the work? It's like doing homework when you're never going to get no degree.
Chores. Wow, I feel like you and Ashley convinced me to not... I feel like you and Ashley convinced me to not move in with the guy unless I'm engaged.
Oh my God, I'm a strong advocate.
But
of
that's
not.
Crazy. But I didn't think that until this moment. In my head, I was like, if I meet a guy, I'll move in with him.
Because everybody always
now
says,
now I'm right. thinking this all.
I just think it loses in romance.
This, in this simplicity form, it's just like, why buy the cow when you can get the milk for free? Yeah. That's how I was always thought of it. But then what Lauren just said, like, it's never, living together, it will never be as like fresh and exciting as dating because, mm-hmm. you, like, I always like, say that
when Jared
would
knock
on the door, and then you would get fresh and you'd see you at your very best.
Yeah.
And you know, you
say goodbye to that.
Yeah. You get to like show yourself off in like your prettiest, like you smell the best, mm-hmm. you get the best 2 hours of your personality that day, all that.
Yeah. That's such a good way to put it. Yeah, like your best mood.
You. Yeah. He sees the before. Yes. Yeah.
Even if you're together for like a year, I'd say,
yeah.
And you're not living together, there's still like he gets the best part.
I do want to know, I feel like if you, and I have no fucking clue, I've never had a boyfriend, real one, but like if you are meant to be, it'll come back together because you moved out and you guys broke up for 2 years.
Totally.
And like, so whatever so, like, situation.
And timing.
Yeah,
and
so if you're listening to this and like you live together, that's fine. Like there's no issue. Yeah.
Absolutely. And it's a real, we have to like, you know, recognize, I'm saying this as somebody who has the freedom to choose who they want to live with and whatever, and isn't in a situation where like financially I need to make that work. Or, you know, if you have a child or if you have something, you're not married, but there's a kid and you, there are a bunch of ways that to make things work and make it work really well. And you can live together. You can, whatever. It's just knowing all this information, all these studies, all that stuff just provides us with more pieces to a puzzle to then make the best judgment for what we need. So knowing that, going, okay, so people who live together, you know, tend to be less satisfied in their marriage. What can we do knowing that information to make this more satisfying for both mm-hmm. of us? I can lay down some hard and fast boundaries of you're on your own for laundry, dishes, all that stuff, da-da-da, just because we're, you know, whatever the rules are that you want them to be. Mm-hmm. Or I need some alone, like I know we live together, but every third Wednesday, I need you to like hit the road, and I'm gonna need an empty house,
Aiden,
and to like
Aiden?
Have a bubble bath.
Remember with that was with Aiden.
Aiden, she was like,
she
need
never
my
was big to leave.
She never wanted Aiden around.
Yeah.
Question.
No, remember
crazy?
With
my
big,
mom went on a date with that actor.
With Aiden.
Wait, what?
Yeah. For real.
Oh my God.
She said he was kind of a jerk.
Ever since my Big Fat Greek wedding, I've been obsessed with him.
Yes. Oh my gosh, she knows his name. Yeah, my mom went on a date with him once.
Big.
He's real tall and sexy.
Big said, what if we live in separate places? What if you keep your place and I have my place?
Oh,
right.
Big.
Yes.
So you can
use your memories. Okay.
Yes.
I feel like for people listening, before we wrap up,
yes.
That maybe are in a situation they can't get out of, right?
Yes.
And we just scared the shit out of them. Yeah. What advice can you give to those people that maybe, you know, are living mm-hmm. together, they feel like they've lost the spark, and maybe they want their alone time like mm-hmm. you craved. What can they do?
You know, I think it's really important to identify what those key ingredients are and not to look at, you know, in anything, not to look to your partner for fulfillment, to look to your partner to be the one to solve those things, and to look in, you know, kind of in the mirror and say, what are the things that are important to me? How can I communicate the importance of these things to my partner? How can my partner support me in these things in whatever way that is? And you know, when you're able to be, because that, looking at those things, it like encompasses everything. It's like, you know, am I fulfilled in my intimate and like sexual life? Am I fulfilled in my like health and fitness and nutrition and all that? And to like, it'd be like demanding your partner, like, get you fit, like be the one to like get you abs and get you like, no, you got to lift the weights. You got to do the jumping jacks. You got to run the miles.
Ugh,
you
why? Know,
I know it's exhausting. I would say the hardest job in the whole world is being a person.
It really is.
The toughest one out there.
That's so true.
Yeah.
Well, we loved having you on.
Oh my God, I loved being on here.
Amazing.
If anybody, you know, is in the California area and they would like, you know, some actual professional, I'll put my therapist hat back on advice, then they can reach me at solutionsoc.com. And I offer therapy for individuals and couples online and in person.
Amazing.
Out of LA and Orange County.
Thank you so much.
Well, we love you.
Thank you.
Can't wait to have you back on. Where else can people find you? Like on Instagram?
Oh, yeah. I'm Sarah Rice, letter I, letter M. Sarah Rice on Instagram and on Twitter. And the podcast is Brain Candy Pod.
Yeah. Brain Candy Podcast. You guys can listen to her talk 2 times a week.
Yes,
on podcast,
I talk a lot. Hundreds and hundreds of episodes.
Of course.
All right, bye guys.
This podcast is brought to you by Weave Podcast Network. Check out all of our shows, including the Brain Candy Podcast, I Don't Get It, Coffee Convos, and Let's Talk About It.